This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Everybody, Peter Zine here, coming to you from the basement I grew up in. That sounds odd. It makes it sound like I was chained to a radiator for 15 years. No, that is not what happened. I just happened to be visiting my parents in Iowa, and I am calling from the basement because the wind chill outside is zero right now, and that is not going to happen. Okay, today is the 14th of January, and the big news is that Japan has recently released its newest demographic assessment of its country. They do this every year. After the United States, Japan is generally considered to have some of the best statistical capacity for their government in the world. And so I tend to trust their data quite deeply. They're now saying that births per woman is 1.15, and anything under 2.1 suggests that your population is actually falling, and Japan's is. It is the oldest demographic in humanity right now, but it is no longer the world's fastest aging. They've made some advances in healthcare. They've extended the ability of the working age in order to keep the workforce kind of stable, although it's only had mixed results. Made it a little bit easier for people to have children, but still terminal. But they have slowed the decline to the point that they are no longer the world's fastest aging society, and they haven't been for well over a decade. Countries that are aging significantly faster than Japan include and are not limited to Korea, Taiwan, Singapore, China. China, according to official statistics, has a birth rate that is now lower than Japan's. By unofficial statistics, it's maybe half that, but that's a different topic for another day. Also, some developing countries, Chile and Colombia and Latin America, even though they've had a very large young population, the birth rate has fallen off a cliff in the last 10 years. In Southeast Asia, places like Thailand are aging faster, and in Europe, Italy. Also, probably Poland's pretty close, although it might be neck and neck, and Ukraine is near the bottom, mostly because of the war. Anyway, the bottom line is that you can buy a little bit of time, but it's really hard to turn the ship around once you drop below 2.1, and really no country yet that has slipped below has ever gone back up. So what does this mean? Well, number one, Japan, because it is an archipelago island nation, they don't need to spend the same style in defense, not in terms of cost, but in terms of manpower. So if you're a land power, you need an army. And Japan probably couldn't field an army right now if it needed to, but it can easily field a navy. So even that might cost a little bit more, and certainly more per soldier or sailor. They can still have a projection-based military system, and in this case, Japan has the second most powerful navy in the world in projection terms, which is about right size to what they need. They might need to do a little bit more as trade breaks down, but they've already changed their economic structure to relocate industrial plant into allied countries that have better demographics, like, say, Mexico and the United States, or Indonesia and Myanmar. That's issue one. So even though that they're aging, they're not aging as fast as a lot of countries around them, and they've got some military options that no one else can consider. Second big issue is that the demographic bomb is not limited to the rich world at all. China, by most definitions, remains some version of a developing country, and they arguably have by far the lowest birth rate in the world. And the fact that we're seeing some countries in Southeast Asia and even in Latin America now dropping below half of replacement level gives you an idea of just how deep this is. In fact, the country in the world that has seen the largest drop in the birth rate in the last 35 years is none other than Yemen. They're still above replacement, but barely. But they've gone from 8 children per woman to 2 children per woman in like 35 years. So this is something that is coming for everyone. The question now, from my point of view, is how this integrates with deglobalization in general. Because if you start breaking down international supply chains, then some of the things that allowed industrialization to kick in large portions of the world suddenly become up for grabs. In the case of manufacturing, that means if you are participating in a multi-state manufacturing system, all of a sudden that is useless. And so you have an older population that doesn't consume as much and maybe can't adapt as quickly, suddenly having to change their industrial base in order to function. Second problem is, of course, agriculture. Pesticides come from one place, herbicides from another, farm equipment from another, parts for farm equipment typically from yet another, and then there's three types of fertilizer: potassium, nitrogen, and phosphorus. Anyway, oftentimes those come from different places as well. You break down supply chains and all of a sudden the food supply is a problem. One of the hallmarks of globalization is anything can be traded, and so you can take countries that pre-1945 couldn't grow a lot of food and had a limited population, or couldn't access iron ore and so couldn't industrialize. Suddenly everyone could get everything. You break down those links and that all goes away. You do that on top of a demographic decay and you get a combination of deindustrialization events, depopulation events, and maybe even decivilizational events. So shit's getting real. We are getting very close to the edge, and not just because of the Trump administration, although the Trump policies are certainly moving things forward. But a country like Japan that has managed to slow the decline, right-size their military for the options they're going to need, and that has wide access to the Pacific and can convoy their own trade if they need to, they're going to be fine. So if you get along with Japan and the United States, you have the basis for starting whatever is next. I'm not saying everything is going to be hunky-dory, but you'll live in a security environment that is more favorable, and you'll have an economic access that means that you're not going to suffer the worst. And of course, if you don't get along with those two countries and you happen to be in the Pacific Basin, then, well, students will study you 50 to 100 years from now as a great example of what to never do.